Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It is now once more and again Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. It's an honor and a privilege to come before you tonight with a word from God for you. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you may be going through, but I'm only a vessel being used by God. And I just want to say thank you. First, I have to give God honor and praise for allowing me to be with you guys one more time. He evidently saw fit. I would like to thank each and every listener that is listening in, either by telephone or via internet. I pray that you receive a word from God that you can use in your life. I pray that Satan be horrified and God be glorified. And the saints could say amen. So tonight's lesson is coming from the book of James. For everyone who have their Bibles, we're going to be in James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 17. James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 17. And the title of the lesson for tonight is, Life is not as long as you may think. And I'll say that again. Life is not as long as you may think. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play the record Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. And once the music is finished playing, we'll enter the courts of God with prayer, and we'll go straight in the lesson. James 4:13 through 17. And the music that's coming on is Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. Thank you. Grateful by Hezekiah Walker. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start the lesson. Hezekiah Walker wanted to come back on. Praise be to God. And that was Hezekiah Walker with the record Grateful. If you're listening to me either by phone or on the internet, I know you have something to be grateful for. And right now, I just want to give God thanks for allowing us to be together one more time. As always, if at the end of the program or any time during the program, if you would like to make a comment, you want to ask for prayer, you want to give words of encouragement, you want to expound on a word that's going through, because remember, I don't know everything. And as I always tell you guys, I can only give information, but the Holy Ghost is going to give illumination and revelation. So if you would like to say anything, you have to press the one button on your phone, and I will see that you would like to speak, and I can open the mic, and you could talk to everybody on tonight. For those that are listening by internet, there's a call-in number. If you would like to say words, you have to call in that number and press the one on your phone, and I can also bring you in the studio that way. And right now, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you, first of all, for allowing me to be able to be used by you on tonight. I thank you, dear God, because you say your word won't return void. Heavenly Father, as I sit here and look at the in the studio and I see all of the numbers coming across the line, I see is that they're friends and families and even some newcomers. And for this, dear God, I say thank you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you look down on everyone that took time out of their busy schedule to call in to explore the word of God in the comfort of their home. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity, and I just want you to know I don't take it that lightly. And dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you find favor on each and every person, their families, dear God, their finances, their health, dear God, their mind, their bodies, their soul, their health, and their strength, dear God. Give each one of them the blessing that they're in need of. Because every Wednesday they constantly call back and we explore the word of God. And that's a sacrifice, dear God. And that's showing that they're faithful, dear God. And you say no good deed go undone. Lord, you told us that if we want to find you, we have to seek you. And if we seek you, you'll be found. And we want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just have your way in this place tonight, dear God. And send your blessings down that each person will be edified and Satan will be horrified and God, you will be glorified. All these blessings and others I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen and thank God. Well, for those who just called in, I want you to know that the lesson tonight is coming from the book of James. And in the book of James, we're going to start in the fourth chapter. And we're going to begin with verse 13, and we're going to go down to verse 17. And the topic for the lesson is tonight is, life is not as long as you may think. Life is not as long as you may think. And here we go. You know, every time I do a lesson on Wednesday, whatever book I'm coming out of, whatever character I'm going to talk about, I always give you some background, some information, and something about the book, the character, the theme, or whatever. So the night before we start with the lesson, I want you to know that the book of James was written by James. And it can be found in the New Testament, and it was one of the first books written. Now, you may say James is in kind of to the back of the New Testament, and it was the first book written. You have to realize that the order that the books may be in is not the order that they really happen sometime. It's not, you know, based on that. But James was one of the first book written. The book of James is called a general epistle. And it's an epistle is a letter. So what this is telling us that James wrote this letter to someone for some reason. You see, the approach of James is not practical. It is practical rather than theological. You know, James was a practical speaking person. He thought things practical, which made it plain and simple that anyone could receive it. You see, it is also called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And you know, when we deal with Proverbs, you know, that's books of wisdom. It's one of the book of wisdom. So when you read James, you can think, you can know that it's practical and it's full of wisdom. James was writing to a Jewish audience, and James was a Jew. The theme of this book is faith and works, and is repeatedly talked about. James presents these subjects not as a conflict, but as a complementary one to the other. Because you know those people and atheists and people who try to prove the Bible as not being right and that it contradicts itself. It used a lot of James because, see, James said faith without works is dead. But Paul says only faith can save you and not works. But you see, they wasn't contradicting each other. They both of the statements is necessary for the body of Christ. You see, James was really saying, if you show me your faith, I should see your works. Because faith produced work. And then that's the same thing the Apostle Paul was saying. I want you to know that James was the half-brother of Jesus. James, who wrote the book of James, is Jesus' half-brother. And the reason, of course, we say half-brother, because they had different fathers. James was earthly father is Joseph. While his father, biological father, was Joseph. And Jesus, you know, was by the Holy Ghost and by God himself. So they said they had half brothers. I want you to know that the book of Jude was written by Jude, and that's also one of Jesus' brothers. But James grew up as a carpenter in a home in Nazareth, and later he moved to Capernaum. Like his brothers, and this is amazing, like his brothers, James did not believe in Jesus as the Lord until the end of Christ's earthly ministry. You see, but after the resurrection of Jesus, James received a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, and then he believed. He grew up in a house with him. He saw he was different, and yes, they couldn't believe he was the Messiah. Hallelujah. And once Jesus died and he resurrected and he showed himself unto James, James believed and called upon him as Lord and realized that he needed him for his Savior. You see, James was martyred. And I want you to know martyred mean when you die for your religion or strong conviction and you decide not to bow down and you hold on to the confession of your faith. But he was martyred. You see, James wrote to the Jewish Christians, and they had been scattered all around the Mediterranean world because of persecution. This letter have rich meaning for us as we are reminded that genuine faith transform lives. Genuine faith. And we are encouraged to put our faith into action. It is easy to say that we have faith, but I want to let you know tonight, true faith will produce loving actions and how you treat one another. So we've gone into the scriptures now, and we're at James 4, and we're going to do 13 and 14. Those who have your Bibles, follow along. And it says, now, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And 14 say, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. And it says, for what is life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and then vanish away. So what is this scripture saying? This scripture is starting by letting us know we make these plans. As it says, it's going to go in the city and it's going to buy and sell and it's going to make gain. You know, we do all of that in our life. We are taught to do that if you're productive to do that. But the scripture is telling us also that we know not about tomorrow, because you know we learned that yesterday is gone, today is here, and tomorrow is not promised. So you make these plans for tomorrow and say what you're going to do in this life. But they say, what is this life? It's just a vapor. And I know everybody, you know, probably know what vapor is, but that's the way the Bible describes our lives. You see, I'm not saying it's not good to make goals and prepare, because God wants us to do that. But it is good to have goals, but goals can be sometime, and most of the time, disappoint us if we leave God out of them. So what I'm saying, you could plan, but go to God. There is no point in making plans as though God does not exist, because the future is in his hand. You see, to live with no motivation or planning is not God's desire. Making plans that are out of the will of God will and usually produce the end that you're not looking for. But making plans with God's will produce the end result for you. To get the expected end, we must believe. Believe what? Believe the word of God. And so what I did, I went to Jeremiah 29 and 11, for those who have their Bible. We got to believe to get an expected end. I believe that God is in control. We can't just assume it in our minds. I can't just tell it to you. I got to give you the word. So Jeremiah 21 and 11 says, God is speaking. I know the plans I think towards you. And you see, when it says, saith the Lord, you need to know that that's God speaking. In the New Testament, when we see red writing, we know that that's Jesus Christ speaking. In the Old Testament, God talked to his prophets to talk to his people. There are many verses, and if you want to hear the voice of God, the whole word is the word of God. But if you want to see statements that he made himself, visit the Old Testament. And in Jeremiah 29 and 11 say, for I know the plans that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now that's beautiful. God said, I know what I have planned for you. Can you believe it? And if God said he know what he had planned for us, then if we trust him and just go ahead, he done already planned it. It is already done in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, the Bible teaches against two extremes. Someone who never set goals, or other who set goals with no thoughts of God. You see, you got to remember that nothing can happen unless God orchestrate it or allow it. I'm not talking about some things. I'm talking about anything and everything. Nothing can happen unless God orchestrate or allow it. And you see, us Christians walking in our faith, that's how no matter what situation we in, no matter what come our way, no matter what adversities, prosecution or persecution come upon us, God had to allow it. And in his allowing, he's going to work it out. And you got to know it. He said, I know the plans that I think towards you. You see, God said that. And what he's telling us, I got you. And when you decide to trust God, you're saying, God, you knows best. God has created our existence before the foundation of the world. And we must make our plans loosely and allow God's will to be done. Go to God, then make your plans, and hold on to them, but be loose, because you see, it's not all about your will. It's about God's will. God created us for his purpose. He created us in his design and in his plan. And then he created us for his glory. We must always remember God is in control. And if we go to some other things, I want to give you scripture, not me just telling you. If you can't turn to them fast enough, just write them down and you go back and visit them. And I say that God is in control, and I say about making plans without putting God in it. So if you saying that and you saying it's necessary, you saying why I'm saying it's necessary. So I'm gonna just give you the word of God. If you go to Isaiah 45:6-7. Isaiah 45:6-7. You see, this verse let us know who is in control. Watch this. God said that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. This is God speaking. I am the Lord and there is none else. That's beautiful. And then the 7th verse says, when God said it, he said, I formed the light and I created darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So he's showing you, you don't know nobody else that created light or created darkness. You know, you know the rising of the sun. He makes the sun. He put the sun in place and it never got out of place. God all by himself. And God don't have to go into no counsel with nobody for what he want to do for you. You know, sometimes people want to do something in your life, but they got to think about it real hard, or they got to ask their mama, they got to ask their daddy, or some married people got to ask their husband, or they got to ask their wife. But you see, God don't have to go in counsel. God does what he want, when he want, how he want, for whoever he want, because he's God. And you see, for to back this up, I got another scripture for you. If you go to Matthew 6:33 and 34. Now, I told you who you should go to. We discovered that in Isaiah. And now I'm telling you, I'm going to let you know how should you make your plans. You see, because we're making plans all day, and some of us is old, and we have made plans that became disasters, and some of them did come through, but I'm giving you the way to do it. Now, I'm going to let you know how we should plan. Okay, Matthew 6:33 and 34 say, what you should do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So this is telling us we have to seek God first. And they say, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of evil thereof. God said, you worrying about tomorrow, sitting down distressed and depressed and overwhelmed about things that's happening. And you know, you're not promised tomorrow. And even if tomorrow come, you know what the scripture said, tomorrow going to have his problems of his own. That's what it says. Now, I done told you who you have to go to and who's in control and how you go to about doing it. Now, I'm going to let you know when and how we should plan. And this scripture in the book of Philippians, Philippians 4 and 6, lets us know how we should plan and when. And that scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, which means thanks and thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So when and how, they say in all things. You know, nothing is too small to pray to God. No plan is too little. No plan is too big. All plans. Be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. So you have to go to God. You have to give him a petition. You got to be thankful. And you watch him do what he do because of who he is. And last but not least, I'm going to let you know that if you do those three steps and all of your planning and all of your raising your family and, you know, dealing with your job and with everything else, this is what's going to be the end result in the Word of God. Not what dying say, but what the Word of God say. You see, and then we're going to visit Romans 8:28. After we do those things, we're going to visit Romans 8:28. And I know so many of you is familiar with this verse, and it's a verse well worthy to be remembered. But if you do those steps, this is what's going to happen. And we know that God will cause all things to work together for your good, to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. And everybody who accepted Christ, you need to know that you are the call. And anybody that loved Jesus Christ, you know, they say for anyone who loved him. So if you could say you're not an accepted Christ, so now you called and you know you love the Lord, then all things, is God will cause it to work together for your good. But you got to remember his will, not your will. His time, not your time. So don't get discouraged. If God said that he's going to do it, wait. I say wait on the Lord. And now we're going into verse 14 of James, the fourth chapter, and we're on the 14th verse. And that 14th verse says that this life is but a vapor. Hallelujah. Here for a little while and vanish away. You know, all of us are appointed to die. We can't get around it. You know, we just don't know when and we don't know how. But I could tell you why. You see, when sin entered the world in that perfect Garden of Eden, man had to die a physical death to receive eternal life. You know, the scripture used the word vapor. You know, and I went to Webster Dictionary, and I found that a vapor is something that is very short-lived. You need to know that God's time is not equated as our time. You know, 2 Peter 3 and 8 says, 2 Peter 3 and 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. And you know, plenty of people use that scripture, and some theologians would like us to believe, and not really like us to believe, I shouldn't have said it like that, but they discuss it a lot of times that maybe Peter was being hypothetical. But the point is, our time is not God's time. God not on no timetable of years. God's timetables is eternity, and that's forever. So don't get it twisted. He's an on-time God. God created time, and he worked within time. But, you know, we can't equate our time with him. But they say, you know, that's something that the Bible has given us to equate with time. You see, if we put all of our concentration and efforts in this life, which is only short-lived, and we spend time, most of our time, our thoughts, our deeds, our finances, in the things that this world can give, which is only temporal, we will miss God's best for us, which is abundant living here on earth. And then we still have to die. Hallelujah. And you see, God's best, you know, God, you know, we going to the prepared place for prepared people when we die, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm not saying it's going to be heaven, but we're going to be in New Jerusalem. You know, we're going to be somewhere God with Jesus, because he said, I go to prepare a place with you. But the point is, God wouldn't have put us on earth to have to live any kind of way, and yet he said everything belonged to him. The cattle's on 1,000 hills. Everything belonged to God, because we have to remember we only steward for you not to have a decent, peaceful life. Now, I want to tell you something else tonight. Everything is not for everybody. Everybody's not going to be rich. Everybody is not going to be the smartest. Everybody can't be the president. But whatever God chooses for you is for you. And nobody can beat you being you. And there's no other authentic you, because when he made you, you're the authentic one, and there is no other. Sit back, relax in how God created you. Believe me, it's what you need in this world. You have to find out a way to operate it. You see, John 10 and 10 say, the thief came but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that you may have life, and that you may have it abundantly. That's Jesus. Jesus said, you can have abundant living right here on earth. But you gotta get with the program. You got to understand the word of God. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to believe it. You got to trust God. You got to hold on to his unchanging hand. You got to sit back and realize that the battle is not yours, but it's his. You got to, come on now, y'all know. Because you see, whenever the going gets so tough and the going gets so rough and you only see one set of footprints in the sand, and if you know anything about him, it's not yours, it's his. Because you see, he put no more on you than you could bear. And when the time gets too tough for you, he carries you. But you got to believe it. You see, life is shorter than you think. No matter how many years we live, I want to let you know now, don't be deceived into thinking that you have a lot of time remaining to live for Christ. Start today and just do the right thing. I know you're not going to be perfect, because when we joined the battlefield and became Christians, they didn't say we could be Christ, but he said use Christ as an example and try to get as close like it as you can. You see, don't think you have so much time remaining to live for Christ or to enjoy your loved ones. Amend some of them broken relationships, because in a broken relationship, everybody loses if you don't know it. Or to do what you know you should. Come on now, y'all. Live for God today. No matter when your life ends, you would have fulfilled God's plan for your life, and your living will not be in vain if you live for God. Because you need to remember, and this is true if you want to accept it or not, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. And then if we go to James 4 and 15, for that you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we should live, and we should do this, and we should do that. And verse 16 say, but now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. And 17 say, dare to him that knows to do good and don't do it. Come on now. Those who know to do good and don't do it. Do you know anybody like that? Have that happened to you sometime in your life? I know it's been times when I could have did better than I did, and I didn't do it. But you know, we all under construction, and none of us is perfect. But God is working in and through us to achieve his good and perfect will. He never left it up to us, because we in and of ourselves could never achieve it. And it never will. And we never will without him. You see, in 17, I'm going to read it again. Dare to him that knows to do good and do it not. To him it is sin. We are not afforded the privilege of speaking as if we have the power to control our lives. They have so many people walk around boasting and got their chest out like they got power in their hand. You know, they can't control life. They can't give birth. And they can't abstain you and retain you here any longer than God wants you. The richest man, you know, some of the richest people die. Smartest people die. You know, presidents die. Jesus Christ, our Savior, died. Man will die. But we're not afforded the privilege, like I say, of speaking as if we have the power to control our lives. Remember, we are here today, and we're gone tomorrow. And as it happened in these days, we're here today and gone today. We should always remember that God is in control, and his will be done. We should say, if it's the Lord's will, we should live and do this and that. I want to let you know that all boasting is evil. The scripture says if you are boasting, that means it's all about your doing. And you know, when you're boasting, you're acting like God ain't had nothing to do with it. You know, I can remember in my life when I was very foolish and I thought I paid the cost to be the boss. They got people say I'm a self-made man. Nobody made themselves, because if you made yourself, you can make some more. But we use those phrases. And I know it's like a little pat on the back to say that you did, you know, certain things, you know, and maybe the odds was against you, but you made it out. But, you know, boasting is all about you. And when you boast, you're telling God that he didn't have nothing to do with it. And that's a dangerous place to be. You see, God has something for all of us to do, and we should plan our lives accordingly. Don't leave God out of your plans. Don't leave God's purpose or his will for your life out of your plans. You see, some people don't read it or study the word of God and they will never understand the will of God for their lives. They think the way they do things is okay, but that their perception, that's their perception, and it has become their reality. But it may not line up with the word of God. which is the truth. And I want to let you know right now, your perception is good for you, but it don't make it be the truth. And in all perceptions, it's really not real. Because, you know, crazy people have a hell of a perception. They, you know, they have a perception and they begin to believe what they believe. And some of those perception has caused them to go on a deep end. But some people who just haven't been classified are receiving medicine. You know, they have some, you know, unlined up perceptions as well. But you see, 2 Timothy 2 and 15 say, we should study to show ourselves approved, a workman in a world, a workman of the word of God, so that we will not be ashamed and correctly understand the word of truth and God's will. And the King James says, study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when they use that word workman, that the word workman is in this scripture because a workman is someone who has mastered his skill. You know, that could be a workman, could be a master carpenter, a master plumber, and they would call him a workman. So God is saying, you know, master the word of God for yourself and for others, how to manage your family, how to treat your wife, how to be with your children, how to act on a job, how to be a good citizen. It's in the word of God. Because you see, the word of God is daily instruction for daily living. He said, but master that like you master a manual on your job. And be a workman in the word of God. And then rightly divide it so that you could stand up to the truth. But I want you to know boasting is not of God. It's a man thing. And it's a thing of this world. You see, we tend to think that only doing wrong is sin. That's what we think. But you see, James lets us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. Now, I don't know if you got it. I'm going to say it again. You see, we tend to think that doing wrong is sin. Things that we know of, you know, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't rob, you shouldn't, you know, have sexual perversion, you know, whatever. You know, so we figure that's doing wrong. But James want to let us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. So you say, what you talking about, Diane? I want to give you two examples. These two kinds of sin, you know, that I'm talking about, you know, usually in some places, in some writing, in some theologian teachings, these are called sins of commission and sins of omission. Now, when we look at the sin of commission, it is which is the act of doing wrong. That's commission. You in it. You know it wrong. The world look at it wrong. You know, they say it's wrong. That's the sin of commission. But the sin of omission, which is to know to do good and don't do it. I'm going to give you an example. It is a sin to lie, but it's also a sin to know the truth and not tell it. Got it? You see, some people have made up their mind that they are not ready to follow Christ all the way. So they don't want to hear what he's saying. And they don't want to hear the different subjects and some of the subjects that they're not ready to give up. They'd rather not hear that because when they hear it, they think they're accountable. And they believe not hearing it, they're not accountable. Like, you know, some lot of people who don't know say, if I don't know, God ain't going to hold it against me. So they don't want to hear certain things. They don't want to show up for certain things. You know, they believe that if they don't know it, they won't be held accountable. But as Christians, we know what is good and what is sin. And if we know something that should be done and don't do it, we're sinning. The sin of omission. Some people will not go to hell because of what they did, but what they did not do. Because if you never accept Christ as your Savior, you could be the nicest person in the world, but you will not see his face. And it's not necessarily that they have all this against you for what you did, but you'll be gone for what you didn't do. You see, 2 Peter 2 and 21 says, for it is better for them to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it, turn away from it. God is saying it's, you know, it's really hard to be under the word of God all of the time and know the word of God and hear the word of God and then just do it any kind of way you want to. That scripture says better for them to have not known than to know and don't do it. You see, someone, and I'm going to give you a little examples about that. You know, there are many times that we could do some things just because it's the right things to do, but yet we turn our backs. I'm going to give you a few examples before, and I'm about to close. Someone may be in need, and you could help them, but you don't. That's sin. Remember, we are only stewards. Everything belongs to God. How can you hold something that God gave you? And if he wants you to share it, that means you have enough, and yet you won't do it. Everything belongs to God in the first place. And there's a scripture that reminds us, if you got a lot, let me tell you why. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Please remember that. You see, and another example is someone could need a word of encouragement. And you could give it, but you won't. And you know what you say? I don't have time. That's a sin. Every time God allow you to just breathe, you got a purpose and God has something for you to do, get with the program so the program won't get you. There's another someone who may need a word from God. And you might not know all of the Bible, but that particular verse or chapter they need, you know it. And yet, you won't share it. You see, because people believe that everything that is necessary is never their job. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to look at it. You don't realize that Satan is putting strongholds in your mind that will block you from ever helping someone. And you say, well, I still do good for my family. But God said, if you only do good for those you love, he said, that don't count. He said, because the heathens take care of their own too. You see, the Holy Spirit is constantly doing his job of guiding us in the things of God. We should be willing to help others as the Holy Ghost leads us. Remember, this life that we have is my phone fixing to cut off, y'all. That's why I'm moving. This life that we have is a life that is not that long. And we should remember and do the things of God in the time that we have. Because this life is not as long as you think. Don't allow the tricks of the devil to fool you into thinking that it is not necessary or that's someone else's responsibility. God wants to use each of us for his will. Each of us. And it is necessary for us to do the will of God in the time that he gives us in this short life. God is waiting to see your works because you confess that you have faith. God is waiting to see your works because you confess that you have faith. James also said that faith without works is dead. So as I close right now, I want you to know that life is not as long as it may seem. It's only a vapor in the eyes of God. But he has given each one of us enough time in this life to accomplish our purpose for his glory. What I'm asking you to do is please make every day count that your living will not be in vain. We began this life on the day that we were born. And we will end this life on the day of our death. But I want you to know that there is a dash in the middle. It says birthday dash death date. And I'm going to ask this question to you tonight. And, of course, you don't have to raise your hand because I wouldn't be able to see it. And if you would like to talk about it, when we over and you press the 1, but the question I ask to you tonight as I close, what will your dash say about you? And that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, hallelujah, at this time, I'm waiting for anyone who have any comments, concern, want to share a word, want to say a prayer, want to sing a song, want to give encouraging words to the people that's listening, want to make a comment. You might have something you need to add to the lesson. Like I tell you all the time, I don't know everything, but this is a subject everybody know, and it may be something that the Holy Ghost has given to you and put on your mind about this lesson where you could share it with everybody. So I'm asking anyone, and you could just come in and tell us your name and where you're from. And if you want to make a comment, give a concern, word of encouragement, lift up a prayer, even ask for a prayer, press the 1 on your phone, and I'll open it up, and you can make your comment. The lines are waiting for you to call in so that I can open your line. Anyone that has anything to say, you may press the 1 on your phone. And I see that we have some new callers tonight. You know? If you want to say, anybody have a praise report, you could press the phone and I'll open the line. Well, we have 8 minutes so until the 1 hour time. And I would like to hear from someone. Oh, we have a caller that then press the 1 button, and I'm going to open the line right now. I think this is Tamika, and she's calling from Houston, Texas, because she calls every week, and I want to say thank you, Tamika. But right now your line is open, and you may begin to speak.
I wanted to say good night to everybody and welcome to the new people that are joining in. And I wanted to say that I enjoyed the lesson again tonight, T. Diane, and as always, learned something new about the author and what it is that they wrote about and about the author themselves. And I hope that you're feeling well, as to be expected with everything they had going on previously. So wanted to say thank you and just thankful that you felt up to conducting Bible study tonight and last week, and to tell everybody they have a blessed night, and that's it.
Thank you so much, Tamika. Was it any part of the lesson that you think you could use, or you didn't know, it just refreshed you on and something that may be encouraging you to do something different, adding to the things that you know?
But I didn't know that the particular book that you discussed, that was everything that God said. Because I'm not ashamed to tell anybody that I don't know the Bible, but tuning in weekly, it has enlightened me tremendously. And I found a version of the Bible that I like, the New International Version? It's
yes.
More simple to where I can understand. But I didn't know that, so now that you share that with me, I'll be able to go to see, like you said, for what he has said about you and what he knows.
So. Right, and that's one of the most beautiful, profound scriptures in the Bible, because God said, look, I know the thoughts I have for you. Now, you're going to live on this earth, and you're going to do it your way, but I know what I got for you. And if you just follow me, believe me, patiently wait on me, you know, I'm going to work it out for you good. And you got to remember, in the Old Testament, there were prophets, and the prophets God used to give the message to the people. So God spoke to the prophets himself, and the prophets brought the words to the people. And when they say declare the Lord, say it God, God himself is speaking. And that's powerful to be able to read the word of God, which, you know, the words, the actual words of God, which the whole Bible was written by God, but it was written by man, but it was inspired by God. And God, you know, saying, you know, what he's saying, then they say declare the Lord. That's enough to make you sit down and say, all right. And it's just so plain and simple. And you see, the name of my radio station is Words of Wisdom, Plain and Simple. You know, and I got to tell you, I don't know everything, but what I do know, I know. And I am a plain and simple girl, and I can only speak plain and simple. And I use what God give me, and that's the way I give it to you. So I hope it be something, because we have to build on our knowledge of the word of God, Tamika, and don't ever worry. Where you are is where you're supposed to be right now. Where you are today is for today, but it has nothing to do where you're going to be in the word of God if you keep holding on and if you keep seeking. God said, if you seek me, I will be found. You cannot seek the Lord and don't find him. But you just keep doing what you're doing, because God has something for you. And I'm not prophesying, but God has something for all our lives, like I said in a lesson. Try to connect and find out your purpose and your place and the will that God has established for you. Because it is done. Because God did not make nothing without a purpose. He made a flower to give oxygen so that we could breathe. He made little bugs so that the big bugs could eat them. God did this. And it is well done. And he gave us life, and he gave us everything we'll ever need. You know, the only thing that God really asked for us to do, because there's a scripture in Philippians 2:13 where God said, it is I, this God, it is I that work it in you to will and to do my good pleasures. When I read that, I had an epiphany out of this world, because that told me that it's not even predicated on how good I could be, but it's predicated on how much I submit and obey. But God says it's up to him to get his pleasure out of me. He made me. He created me. He know me. But it's all I have to do is submit and obey. God covered all bases, and God never gave you an assignment he didn't give you the provisions. God never sent you nowhere where he know you could fail. Never, and he never will, because that's not the kind of God he is. And he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed can have everlasting life. He gave up his son for us to live, and yet you think he's going to fail you? Nah. And when you think the road is getting too tough and it's too much for you to bear, you see, God created you. He made everything about you. So you see, he knew how much you could really, really, really bear. So it seemed like you at your unbearing point, but God knows, you see, and evidently you bear them all because you're still here and it didn't break you. You see, we don't even know our level of bearing. But when God said, I put no more than you could bear, and it seemed like it's a little bit across the line of bearing, God knows that as well, and he know how much you could really bear, and that's the way he do that. But right now, it's 9:28. I always promise to finish in 1 hour. We started at 8:30. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer, and if anyone changed their mind when the prayer is over and you press the one button, and you might want to give a comment about God, what he's doing in your life. You know, anybody got a praise report? I know God is doing some wonderful things out there and out in the lives of his people. You know, but if you want to share that, you know, you do that. But I'm going to go ahead on and give the prayer. And then, you know, plenty of people love to stay on the line and listen to the songs, and you're welcome to stay on as long as you want. But we're going to go ahead and do the closing prayer. And if there's someone out there that can do the closing prayer, if you press your one button, I'll allow you to do it. But if no one does, anyone want to say a prayer, at this time, please press the one button. And you could lead us out in prayer and do a benediction. So no one has pressed the button. So at this time, I'm going to say, dear Heavenly Father, precious God, we enter your courts with thanksgiving and to your gates with praise. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the time we was able to share one with another. Lord, I thank you for the caller that called in, and some people may have something that they maybe wanted to say and they didn't press the button, and maybe they'll say it next time. But Lord, I thank you for each and every person because they took time out of their schedule and call up as we explore the word of God. Lord, I'm asking that you be with them until we meet again. Protect them, dear God. Find favor in their lives, dear God, and let favor be granted unto them by man. Lord, I'm just leaning and depending on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We can't make it without you. Lord, I just want to thank you. And until we meet again next week, dear God, I'm asking that everyone be blessed, everyone is protected, and everyone find their way. Lord, I pray that your word won't return void and it's something that they can use to strengthen them. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen. And thank God. And at this time, I see a light is lit. The one button is pressed in the studio. And now I'm going to open a mic for 225-241. 225-241, your mic is open at this time.
Hey, Dee, how you doing?
I'm doing fine tonight, Ron.
I just wanted to say that, I mean, I didn't expect it, but I was really, really blessed tonight. And it was with the word and with your teaching, but one of the things that I've been purposing to do is to restore and renew relationships with my family. And, you know, I understand that relationships actually take work and purpose. They don't just kind of happen. And I kind of been in relationship with this person, you know, through technology, through Facebook, through my wife. But I heard my cousin's voice tonight, and I hadn't heard her voice probably in 20 or 25 years.
Hallelujah.
And, I mean, it really just...
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think the caller has probably got full and has left the line. And I want to make sure that I'm still connected. So I need the caller who's number 504-729-70. I'm not going to call your rest of the numbers. I'm asking that you press the one button on your phone, and I can know that you guys are still hearing me and that the caller has left and not me being connected to you guys. Thank you so much. So evidently the caller, thank you, 504-729. The caller evidently got full. Glory be to God. And 729, I see your button is pressing. You did that for me. But I'm going to cut you off. Well, I can't cut you off. And I didn't know if you really wanted to talk. But I'm going to open a mic for you because you might want to talk. And I, you know, so 729, if you would like to talk, the mic is open. If you don't, it's okay. And I will close it back. 729-504-729, your mic is open. And now
good evening,
I'm closing
everybody.
It. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm opening it back, 729. It's open.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I just wanted to say that I think we're all blessed to have a woman of God that is able to hear from God and be obedient to God and share his word with us weekly. You know, we all go through things 7 days a week, 24 hours a day that we have to give from Wednesday to Wednesday. But, we never know if you're going through anything or not, because we just hear God's word coming through you. And so we're grateful for that. It allows us to get some bearings on our week, and we're able to gain some knowledge and some insight on the word of God and you know, simple things that we didn't know before, like Tamika said, that we can now say, oh, you know, I didn't know that. Jeremiah 29:11 happens to be my favorite verse. I learned that God was speaking. I think one of the first Bible studies I attended in July or August or so at your house on Monday nights, and it immediately became my favorite verse, just to know that God, the thoughts that God has towards me are thoughts of good and thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end. So I know that any evil thoughts that may pop up in my head, I have to cast those down and cast the imaginations out of my head, and I have to tell Satan to get behind me, because it's not of God. So I do want to thank you for just sharing with us weekly, just allowing God to use you, just putting aside the things that you may be going through during the week, so that there are people out there that depend on you to give us something, give us a word from God. So I'm in agreement with everybody, and I'm grateful, and I'm also very grateful that the Bible study is not only giving us a chance to get God's word, but also to be able to connect with family members and friends and start to build bonds again, things that, you know, God wants us to do. You said that earlier, that he wants us to mend relationships and get over some things and be the first one to reach out, and, you know, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. So sometimes, as difficult as that is, you know, I'm called a pushover a lot by people that know me, but it's not at all that I'm a pushover. I just do the things that I ask myself all the time, what would Jesus do? And so I try to live my life like that day to day. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, because I'm far from that, but I do try to walk like I know he would walk in certain situations. And in most cases, it does mean that I have to be the bigger person and swallow things, or even go to a person and try to mend a relationship when I wasn't the one that maybe, you know, messed it up. So I do want to thank you, and I want to, you know, just tell everybody to have a blessed night.
Okay, Sister Rion, you just not untaught a lesson, baby. Preach, girl.
I'm sorry.
And I sure do thank you as well. I thank you so much. I have another caller. That line is open, but 225-241, your line is still open. If you want to continue your talk, you may do so now, or I'll close your mic.
No, I'm fine. I just got caught up in just, you know, the magnificence of God just blessing me with something so simple that, you know, I always think I just know it all, have it all together, and just, you know, could see it coming, but that was just amazing. And I never thought I would be moved just by hearing the voice on the phone. It was really a blessing. I'm just thankful.
God is doing his thing. Hallelujah. And thank you so much, Ron. For y'all who don't know, Ron is my nephew, and Tamika from Texas is my niece. And, you know, I'm so honored and blessed when I could have members in my family call in and be blessed. You know, my neighbors is calling in and, you know, and things like that, you know. And I know it's not because of me. It's because of God. And I just want to thank him for that, because that's truly a blessing for me and my family and my friends to be able to fellowship with one another, and come together and be on one accord and be blessed. God is committing, it's God is connecting and making these circles, and, you know, and he's restoring his people back with one another, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, and I thank each and every one of you for being a part as well. And I just want to say thank you, Ron. God is truly in the blessing business.
Thank God.
Thank God. And, Ron, I went on and closed your mic. I have another caller from 504-858-00. I have a call at 504-858-00. Your mic is now open.
Hey, Auntie Diane. I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry for your loss, and I was listening to you tonight. And can you please continue for praying for me and my family?
Gerald.
This is Gerald.
And who is this?
Gerald.
Gerald?
Yes.
Okay, Gerald. You got it. I love you.
Thank you.
And
I love
thank you
too.
For calling in.
You are.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Any other callers want to call in? Press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to start playing music for y'all. And I just want to tell y'all I love each and every one of you. And there's nothing you could do about it, and I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep loving you till I don't have any more breath in my body. And I just hope that everyone have a great and wonderful and blessed and glorious, peaceful, favorable full, if that's a word, you know, week that's coming up, that God grant you all of the things that you're in need of. Your finances will be boomed. Your health will be straightened. Your relations will be mended. And God is going to get the praise, and you're going to be edified. Because God can do that and so much more. So I'm going to play a record now, and we can stay on as long as there's still callers in the queue. I won't leave and close out until every phone is off. So I'm going to play Take Me to the King right now. That's how I feel right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm altered now, hurt and abused. I can't pray. What led to strength to cry, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I know.
And that was Take Me to the King. It's so good to get in the presence of God. It is so good. At this time, I'm going to play you a record by Shirley Caesar. Enjoy. And I'm going to stop this right now because I see a line lit up, and I don't know if it's an error, but I'm going to just address it, and if not, I'm going to go back to the record. But a caller number, that's 985-860-91, your button is pressed. And it may be an error, but I'm going to open the mic, and if you would like to speak, you can do so at this time, and if not, I'll close it and go back to the song. 985-860-91. Your mic is open.
Well, hello, Diane.
Hey, Auntie Audrey. Yes, everybody could hear you, baby.
Okay, you're speaking on life is not long. I agree, it's not long here on this earth. You're here today. And we're gone today. We live, we die. And after death, it's the judgment. And then, if you have done the will of God, you will, on the other side, you have life eternal. There will be no more dying on the other side. See, we leave from this side to another side. And we have to make a choice by doing His will and walking in the newness of life. Now, if you don't do the will of God, you have to do the will of God to even have life. My brother died at 90, and that wasn't a long life. But the way he lived, his life spoke for him. And I know he's going to have life eternal wherever it may be. Wherever it may be, if it's on this earth, he will have life. He will not die anymore. Because the life he lived, it spoke for him. He did his own funeral the way he lived. He had a beautiful funeral. And your life has to speak for you. You have to have love with people. You have to not keep things in your heart for your fellow man. So that's the only way you're going to have life eternal. Life on this earth isn't eternal. It's on the other side. So you have a long, long life, but you have a life forever. you will be with Jesus, whether it's in heaven or whether it's on earth. We pray every day to let this earth become as it's heaven. So wherever he is, that's where I want to be. So I'm trying. I'm trying and hoping that I have life eternal. I can't say that I'm going to have it. I have to hope and try. And if I do his will, I know I have everlasting life. That's all I want to say.
And I thank you so much, Auntie Audrey, for calling in and for you to really you expound upon a lesson, because several things was covered in that. You know, I said, you know, man has to die a physical death to receive eternal life. And, you know, you talked about it being a short period. And, you know, and I also said in a lesson that God has given all of us an allotted time, and it's enough time for his purpose and his will and for us to fulfill the thing that he set out for us to do. And that's so wonderful. You know, some people die at 90, some reach 100, some die at 10, you know, different ages. But whatever time you have, it's enough time. You know, we love our loved ones, and everybody want to go to the prepared place that God has prepared for his people, but no one wants to die to get there. But your time is your time. And it's just so wonderful. And I thank you for those words of encouragement and also the words of wisdom that you have imparted upon us on tonight and sharing with us. And I pray that we get to the place where we want to share with one another what maybe God is doing for us or the knowledge that we receive. Because I tell you all the time, I don't know everything. And, you know, sometimes you could come, a person could come behind me and even before me if they like and interject something that can help the body of Christ, because there's no big eyes, you know, and no little U's. You know, we should be on one accord. And God has no respect to person, and neither do I. And I thank you so much for your words. And, you know, I'm asking that y'all continue to pray for me, and I'll pray for you guys, and we pray for one another. This is Inspirational Wednesday, and we have become, you know, like a part of something that we have, and each of us can play a part. So you guys be blessed. Thank you for your comments, your words of wisdom, and I pray that you be back on Wednesday. And you have been so faithful calling Wednesday after Wednesday. So I don't have a doubt that I'll meet you here on next Wednesday, but I get the pleasure of talking to you every day. And I just want to say thank you. This is my oldest aunt. I love her dearly. She lives in Houma, Louisiana. She calls on Wednesday, and every chance she gets, she comes to New Orleans to be with her family, and that's a blessing. And I thank God for you. And you be blessed.
Hey, love you.
Love you just as much. And if you like, I'll go ahead and put your music back on. That was Shirley Caesar. She says she just feel like praising him. So I'm going to go ahead and return back to the music. And whoever want to stay on, if you stay on, I'm going to keep passing the music on in Jesus' name. Because, you know, there's a message even in song. So here we go. With Feel Like Praising Him, Shirley Caesar.
Oh,
And that was Shirley Caesar. I see that I still have callers on the line. And Shirley Caesar has come back. And now it's the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to go ahead and end the program. I see that I still have Tamika, thank you, and Jeanette Clark, thank you, on the line. We're going to go ahead and to all of my Internet listeners, I just want to say, if you're still on the Internet, thank God and thank you. And if the Lord's will, as the lesson tonight say, and if the Lord say I'll be back on next Wednesday, I'll be back on Wednesday, because God is truly in control. So to each and every one of you, I say good night, and may God be with you until we meet again. Good night, and thank God.